What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Inner City Geeks Podcast, and this is a bonus round. And joining me for this bonus round, I got Brian.
Hey.
And I got Alex.
Oh my God, we're recording again.
Yeah, I know. It's like it's only been like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason for 2 days, and the reason this is a bonus round, is because we're talking about WrestleMania. The two-night event that happened over the weekend, which was something that, you know, I was kind of upset about because I was supposed to be at WrestleMania this year. And I was very sad that they canceled all the events. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I blame that new wrestler coronavirus.
Yeah. Fucker. But yeah, it happened this weekend. They split it up into two days, which was different, but I get it because nobody wants to sit around and watch wrestling with no crowd for 6 hours,
right?
At one time. So, what did you guys think of the overall event? Just like yes or no, like was it good or was it bad?
It was. I'm indifferent.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, because it's like, WWE with all their high-end production versus something like AEW, which is a lower-end company because they're new. I feel like AEW is more enjoyable to watch with no crowd, especially because there were a lot of moments in the matchup, in multiple matchups, in where you would expect with everything the wrestlers, the female wrestler matches. Was it the Bayley one on night two?
Yeah.
It's like
the
Bayley. Yeah. And like, it was Bayley, it was Sasha, and it was one other that did like constant, pin reversals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, or even like the Charlotte and Rhea Ripley one, like that had a lot of reversal, which should have been, you know, cheered on and stuff. And it's just, it sucks.
Yeah. And so did the tag match there too.
Yeah. And it's like, and I feel really sorry for anybody who this was their first WrestleMania. And here they have like the, you know, they hear the stories of like, oh, WrestleMania, the crowd cheers you on, blah blah blah.
But what you got to think about it too is that like, yeah, it's their first WrestleMania, but even though it is, if for them it could be kind of shitty, it gives them higher hopes for next year, being that next year is going to be in Hollywood.
This is true, but yeah, I mean, all in all, I think it had its moments. And you're right, though. It's like no one would want to sit down for 6 hours watching just what looks like rehearsal matches.
Yeah, it really does. It really did at points.
And a lot of the entrances, which are all like theatrical, made no sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's why I think when John Cena came out, you notice he kind of like stopped midway because he was kind of.
Because he feeds off the crowd for that part.
Yeah.
That part he feeds off the crowd. Either he gets booed or he gets hooray'd or all that shit. And the fact that that didn't happen because there was nobody there.
Right.
He's like, okay, yeah, I see what you did there, you guys.
This is, as I said last night to you, this was the first WrestleMania in which he didn't get booed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dude, I love all the inside jokes about, you know, when it came to that Firefly Funhouse match.
Yeah. We'll get into that match in a little bit. But what did you think overall so far?
Oh, what I think as a whole?
Yes.
I will honestly say that they tried their best despite the circumstances. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were talking about this before we started recording, that I honestly, like for me, I mean, I try to enjoy it because overall, wrestling is something that I love since I was a kid. But the problem with something big like a WrestleMania is that this is an event that you have to feed off the crowd.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, and with the whole, you know, COVID-19, you know, self-isolation, quarantine thing. Now, I get everything that they did. They, you know, they tried their hardest to make everything as entertaining as possible. But there were a few things that kind of like took me off, which was and Steve, actually, we talked about it, you know, while we were watching it, that like the lighting was too much.
It was
kind of like a little distracting here and there. And, you know, it just it kind of took away from it because you're looking at it and you're just like, oh, look, there's no crowd.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then the other thing was this was a lot of these wrestlers, their thing is this, that when they wrestle, that they depend on the crowd. For example, like the tag team match, like, you know, well, like I could say, for example, like wrestlers like the Street Profits or whatever, they feed off the crowd. So even though they get amped and they try to get, like, you know, they try to get you going or whatever, it's just, you're going to do that. But with no crowd, it doesn't really work.
Right. It doesn't work at all.
Right.
But all in all, I will say, like, you know, it was, for what it was worth, this was something to take away from what's going on in real life. So, you know what? Like, they did their job in a sense. Yeah. Is it going to be the best WrestleMania? No.
It's not WrestleMania 3. So
no.
Yeah.
I was going to say, joking around, it's not WrestleMania 10, which is, to me, one of my favorite WrestleManias of all time.
That's fair. That's fair.
But I will say this, though, right? The like, you know, how you mentioned or whatever, like Rhea and Charlotte, right? That match, they worked hard, and they tried to make it work without a crowd.
I wasn't expecting it for them to go that hard in it, because, of course, like, not that I'm downplaying the women's wrestling, but like, from somebody that hasn't watched wrestling in a long time, and that's recently gotten into within like the last, well, I'm gonna say like 4 or 5 months, I've gotten back into wrestling, but into watching wrestling. From what it was, let's say 7 years ago till now, the women's wrestling has gotten so much harder,
yeah,
stronger.
Well, they have to, dude, because I mean, I don't know if we discussed this outside the podcast, that if you want to see really good women's wrestling, watch Japanese women's wrestling.
Oh yeah.
Right, these women or whatever work harder than most of the dudes in, you know, in the U.S. And, you know, some people be like, you know, oh, what do you mean? It's like, listen, just go online or whatever and look up, you know, Japanese women's wrestling, and you will see what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. Because I've watched certain things online, and I've seen like how the women's wrestling over there is just like absolutely insane as compared to the shit over here. And the thing is, like, what they're trying to do is that they're getting a lot of women from over there over here now, and that's pretty fucking cool.
That's why that tag team match with Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross versus Kabuki Warriors, that was a good match. And to be honest with you, Asuka's insane as fuck, man. I love Asuka.
She's really good, yeah.
And I love Kairi Sane too, but Kairi Sane, like, you know, like, she has some ways to go, but she's still good.
Mm-hmm.
But now,
my girl in the whole thing was fucking Nikki Cross. Yeah, Nikki Cross, my chick. She's good. I like.
But yeah. But if anything, whatever. Why don't we just start going, you know, match by match and just saying what we thought?
Yeah. Let's go. Do you have a list of the matches? Because I don't have a list of the matches.
I'm pulling one up right now.
Okay. Pull up the list.
Don't pull anything out, dude.
Yeah. Don't pull anything out. Just pull something up.
Oh. Okay. Good. Because I was gonna be like, you know, it became from one show to another.
All right. This is off the E's main site. So it starts off with the kickoff match. Well, like, this is all actually out of order too.
Why would it be in order?
So the kickoff match for night one was Cesaro defeating Drew Gulak.
I did not see that match.
I didn't even know that match was happening.
Me neither. I turned it on like kind of late. Like, I missed the Alexa Bliss match, I think, and I think I got it right about when Corbin and Elias were wrestling.
Okay, so my I guess the first match was the Alexa Bliss was the first one that I watched, which was that was right after the pre-game.
Yeah, well, the pre-show wasn't that, like, you know, that match wasn't actually that bad. Like, you know, it was just to kind of give you like a taste of what's gonna happen. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And you have two workers in Drew Gulak and Cesaro that are actually really good. And they did.
Cesaro's been around for a while, and I've seen him before.
Yeah, Cesaro, dude, he was like, he, you know, he's been around. He's been, if I'm correct, like European champion. Oh, not European, a fucking IC champion, United States champion. And, you know, he's teamed up with people like Alberto Del Rio, Rusev, Sheamus. And him and Sheamus were the bar for a while, which were a great tag team.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, so, and Cesaro, like, you know, is like a lot of people's pick for like someone that should have been a world champion for quite some time, but they, like, you know, it's just like they don't give him that push that he should get.
Right.
But
didn't he even win one of the battle royals, like the Andre the Giant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, he won that like a couple years back.
Okay, see, I was not aware of that. I didn't know that, because, like I said, like, I haven't watched it in a long time. So I knew he was in wrestling, and I knew he was actually semi decent when I did see him before.
And it was funny because great match with him. If you want to check him out, so you can get more of taste, Steve, watch his match against I forgot the guy's name, but it's NXT UK, and yeah, it was one of those matches or whatever. I believe it was fuck his name, something Devlin. Fuck. Well, whatever. But him versus Devlin and him versus another one in the NXT UK pay per view shows or whatever. Those two matches alone, really good, dude.
Okay, I'll definitely check.
Jordan Devlin. That's one of the dudes. Jordan Devlin, and or as I like to call him, Mini Finn Balor, because he looks a lot like him. So whatever.
That's fair. Alex, what was, I mean, Brian, what was your favorite? Well, did you didn't see that first match. So what was the next one?
Was it the Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch defeating Shayna Baszler?
Yeah, that was. I was not expecting Shayna Baszler to lose. I really wanted her to win.
Because, you know, as we were saying, it's like we're kind of over Becky Lynch.
Yeah, like her gimmick is it's a weird gimmick, and the fact that she's been running it for so long, and the fact that she's held the title for an entire year.
Yeah, and like she showed up, you know, in driving off to its prime.
That was weird, but kind of cool at the same time. I thought it was that part, at least.
Sami Zayn versus Daniel Bryan match I thought was really entertaining.
Okay.
I mean,
I didn't think that was very entertaining, to me, at least.
I mean, it wasn't great, but, you know, it was okay. I was just... Yeah, it's just a lot of these matches just dragged.
Yeah, they really did.
Then it was the Morrison Kingston Jimmy Uso ladder match, where they each had to hold on. I don't understand why it was designed that way. Because
it was a triple threat tag match,
but with only one partner. Match.
Yes, because somebody, the Miz, which is John Morrison's partner, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was sick, so he couldn't make it. So he was like, fuck it. Let's just still have the match just with three dudes.
Okay.
And it was... For what it was entertaining, but there was like some low points and not many high
points. I think the finish was a low point.
Yeah, that was a very
it was corny as fuck.
I think what Alex told me, because we kind of texted at that point too. Alex was like, it was a very controversial ending. Like, they're meant for controversial type endings.
Yeah, it's meant for them to. So let's say when they, you know, when there's like a rematch or whatever, you know, it kind of it makes it a little more important.
Right. Basically, like once shit gets better, then they'll have another triple threat tag match or whatever, and figure some shit out at that point.
Then you had Kevin Owens defeating Seth Rollins in the.
You forgot one thing, dude. Before that,
what's that?
That you have Mojo Rawley pinning R-Truth for the 24/7 championship.
Oh, right, that whole thing.
Yeah. That was uncalled for, I think. Like, I get it. They're still trying to fucking throw in the 24-hour thing, which is something that they've had forever that I just still don't get why they would do that. But, like, it's like, oh, yeah, you can get pinned at any time. And I don't know. But R-Truth, I haven't seen R-Truth in forever because I thought he's, like, retired. But
he's been, like, the biggest thing on Raw for a minute. Like, you know, he's even though like he's not like on every week or whatever, but you know, he usually has some segments, so like, you know, you'll see him one way or another on each week of Raw.
Okay.
He'll just pop up.
Yes, but he's I don't know about you, dude, but to me he's entertaining as fuck. So
I never said he wasn't entertaining. It's just weird to see because the fact that he just came on for like a quick second to be like kind of like a crackhead trying to get a fix at the end, like, you know, in the hood, do you see, you know, crackman trying to, you know, like, oh yeah, can you give me a dollar? And he's like, yo, can you just like watch out for me? I'm like, okay. It's kind of weird to ask, you know, the host, which is Crunk. I was like, okay. And then the other dude, I don't know who he is.
Yeah, me neither.
Is he
Mojo Rawley he's been around for a while. But he's one of those dudes where at one point, he was tag team with Zack Ryder, that they were known as the Hype Bros.
Oh, okay.
And then he turned on him and became his own, you know, his own person.
Okay.
Yeah.
But seeing Gronk basically like, yo, fuck you, I'm gonna try to do this, and fail was kind of fun, but then seeing his boy just beat him real quick, I was like, okay. Was not expecting that, but yeah, I get it. I get they wanted to, I guess, change titles so that way R-Truth could just fucking sit back and relax for a while.
Right.
Yeah, like I was kind of like on the fence about that, but then we got the other match, which was the Kevin Owens.
Yeah, so that match was kind of boring to me.
I didn't think it was boring, okay? What was boring was the beginning of the match when just before they, I guess he got hit with the fucking, with the bell. After that, it got better.
But it was meant to be like that. Like, they wanted to, like, you know, like kind of tease you, and then kind of like the real match to begin, if you will.
Yeah, and that's what that part of it I entertained. The basically the ending of the match.
Okay.
Was better than the beginning of it, so I gave that one of my favorites of the first night.
What I like about it is that Kevin Owens finally got a good WrestleMania moment.
Yes, exactly. He really did. When he jumped the fucking off the sign, was pretty dope.
Yeah, that was cool.
And also pinning the Monday Night Messiah.
A man, he calls himself the Monday Night Messiah.
Dude, did you see when he came out with his gear, whatever, like fucking like modern day Jesus?
Yeah, like what the fuck? That was hilarious.
I can see right now, like, you know, you're going to hear, like, dear WWE, as a full-blown, you know, Roman Catholic, I found that truly, truly upsetting. But I do like Seth Rollins and Burn It Down. All the bad generic fan.
Then we had probably one of my favorite actual matches of the night. and that was Strowman defeating Goldberg. Because it was like a 2 minute long match, and I'm happy that Goldberg no longer has that title.
Right, I am happy that Goldberg doesn't have the title, but I wouldn't really consider that a match. Because it was just like, here, just have the belt.
Well, let me tell you something right now. The way that Goldberg won it when he beat The Fiend at Super Showdown, right? Mm-hmm. I felt kind of like, God damn it, now you're killing the momentum of the fucking Fiend, right? But then the whole thing was, originally the match was supposed to be Goldberg versus Roman. It was supposed to be spear against spear. But because of Roman even said it, like, you know, personal choices or whatever,
yeah,
that he wasn't going to go.
Right, because being a cancer survivor, his white blood cell count's probably shot.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to risk, you know.
He'll be immune. He would have been immune compromised, and that wouldn't have been good for him.
But
so I totally respect his decision.
Yeah, no, I do too. And I mean, like, to be honest with you, it's that whole thing of, like, you know how, like, you were force-fed him and everything like that? And, you know, there's, like, and I even said it before, like, even after beating cancer, she's like, I still don't really like Roman. But after this, which is like, you know, damn, you killed your own push because of, for the right reasons, I respect him even more now.
Okay.
But, you know, I say this, I am very happy that Strowman actually got the belt because he's one of those dudes that should have been a champion already.
Right.
So I just hope they do something right with him for a bit minute.
Well, I hope so too, because it's good seeing the bigger dudes actually getting a shot. You know?
No. I mean, they tried to push him before, yeah. But because of like some of his personal choices and some of like, you know, his antics, he killed his own momentum.
Okay, I got you.
But technically, this was kind of like the whole thing of like, you know, all right. You've been around, you've been loyal. All right, we got you. And now because of whatever, he's a world champ.
Mm-hmm. Nice, okay. I'll take it. What was the next match?
The Boneyard.
Yeah, the Boneyard. That was something that it was very entertaining. And I must say, it was very reminiscent of the Matt Hardy shit.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? You know who helped them kind of with the concept and everything like that too? Jeremy Borash, which was the same guy that actually helped out Matt Hardy to do all that stuff.
Nice. That was the what was it? The fucking what was it called? The fucking I forgot the name.
The Matt Hardy thing?
Yeah.
Have like the original ones were like Ultimate Deletion or whatever.
Yeah, I think it was Ultimate Deletion, yeah. Or the Final Deletion.
Yeah, but then you know, Final Deletion, yeah, Ultimate Deletion or whatever and all that. But you know, from like that was the TNA stuff.
Right.
But yeah, but all that stuff or whatever, like, and you know, and it's funny because Matt still does that stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. And actually I love it because it's hilarious. That actually all that came to be, and it was, you know, for him, like, he was still under contract until it expired.
Mm-hmm.
And all that was just, yeah, like, you know, like, unofficial promos that led for him to go to AEW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's still doing it, which is fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, even though I'm taking away from the AJ and Undertaker thing, one of my favorite things when it came to Matt Hardy, when he got actually confronted Jericho, was like, you know, you are the whole of the ass.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I want
to
get
that. Yeah, let's go back to the Boneyard match.
Yes, the Boneyard match was actually it was really interesting. I liked the way that it wasn't an actual match, even though it was an actual match. But the fact that it was actually shot cinematically was kind of cool. And kind of different, other than the fact that, you know, the Final Deletion and all that shit. But it was actually pretty interesting the way they did it. And I kind of liked it a lot. Because it was very, like I said, it was real cinematic and shit. And I like movies. So, yeah. It felt good.
I think it looked like a bootleg version of, like, True Blood.
No, one of my favorite comments I saw online was that someone said this is like a scene from Sons of Anarchy, like Clay's Revenge.
Yeah, it was a weird indie flick.
What I do appreciate is this: it was a good back and forth, right? And even though, you know, it would have helped AJ to get the win, you know, would have pushed his career. Right. But I think it would have taken away from Taker's legacy if he would have lost too.
Yeah.
Especially that he already has two losses in WrestleMania.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, so, we don't want to give him the third loss in a row.
So now with the driving off into the, you know, on the bike and then going off to the sunset, is that it, you think? Do you think he's coming back for another match?
The whole rumor apparently was that this may be his last WrestleMania, but at the same time, just because of, like, you know, that if they want to give him, like, his last hurrah, they want to do it in front of a crowd kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, this is just kind of like, you know, kind of pushing the momentum, I guess, if anything, because I think what will be bittersweet, to be honest with you, is he would have to end at a pay-per-view that he started in. So I would say Survivor Series, because remember, he came in all those years back. That he was brought in by Million Dollar Man at Survivor Series all those years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I think it would be fitting if something like that would happen.
Well, that'd be interesting. That would be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, that would have. That would be. I mean,
overall, night one was okay to me. It was okay. It had a lot more negatives than positives to me.
The entire show of night one felt like the kickoff show.
That's fair.
But it was also very odd because it was on a Saturday. Yeah. And I think that's what threw us off as well.
I guess. But see things like that, like the exact date doesn't really fuck with me. Like, I don't care when it is because I still want to watch it. But yeah, I get it. Like, Wednesday nights is kind of, like, weird to me to watch fucking, like, you know, Dynamite. So seeing it on a Saturday doesn't really fuck with me that much. So let's go.
I was going to say, I just think for me, it's just, it still also felt kind of weird because normally I kind of take Saturday as it would usually be the Hall of Fame or the NXT TakeOver.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why I felt like a little off to me too, because I was expecting, like, you know, I want something like a takeover. So, you know, so you can add, like, you know, WrestleMania, you got some pretty big shoes to fill.
Not true. That makes sense. I'm surprised they didn't really do a lot of the NXT shit, especially since a lot of the NXT shit is done in the Orlando place.
Mm-hmm.
What's hilarious is I'm actually watching Raw right now as I'm talking to you, and some of the Raw guys just actually went against the tag team from NXT. Because, you know, a lot of the people from NXT, like you said, they're there in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's good because at least they have content now to continue on with.
Right, yeah.
And the match I was just on, which was Cedric Alexander and Ricochet versus Danny Burch and Orny Lorcan. That was actually a pretty good match right now. Even though it went kind of quick, but whatever.
Okay. So overall, night one, for me, like I said, it was the best. A little bit more. But when you only have, like... So, I get it.
Yeah.
What did you guys think overall over night one?
Like I said, it felt like the kickoff show.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't terrible. I'd give it like a 3 out of 5.
Okay, so like a C.
Yeah.
Okay.
To me, I guess I would say the same thing. Like, you know, I would give it like a C. But I will say this. To me, it felt more like you were watching like a Raw or SmackDown versus actually watching WrestleMania. But okay, like I said, be it the circumstances or whatever, they tried hard, dude.
Oh yeah, they definitely did. I do give them that. They did try pretty hard to actually, you know, entertain us to the best that they could. And some did than others. So let's go to night two. Night two, which was Sunday.
Sunday,
Overall.
Sunday, Sunday.
Yeah. Overall, what was the overall consensus of a Sunday?
Better than a Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It was better than Saturday. So, what was the first match?
The kickoff show, Liv Morgan versus Natalya.
Okay, see, I didn't see that either. Because I guess I was watching the regular pregame instead of the actual pregame match, which was
Yeah.
sad.
So yeah, so it was an okay match. Liv Morgan got the win against Natalya. And it was like a decent back and forth. It wasn't, it was nice to see them trying to push the women's wrestling a little bit more.
Yes.
And it's nice that then they gave me like a slight little push to Liv Morgan, because when she came back after being out for quite some time, I guess maybe now this is gonna be, her time to shine, if you will.
Okay.
And to get the win against Natalya, which is a seasoned veteran, that's, it's a plus.
Oh, yeah, of course. It really is, especially when you're trying to, rebuild your name and your brand. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, cause, and also, like what you were saying, they're trying to push the women's wrestling. So, in total, they had like five matches throughout the entire WrestleMania event, which is pretty huge. So, what was the next one, Brian? What was the main first match?
The main first match was Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. That was actually a pretty interesting match. It was actually a really good match, I think.
Was one of my tops.
Was
Yeah.
up, it was up there.
It was actually really good, and I really became a fan of the girl that lost,
Dude, Rhea
Rhea.
Ripley's good. She's been former. She was a former NXT
Yeah,
UK
she
champ.
was
And yeah, she like she from when she started from the what was it the what is it the Mae Young Women's Classic, when she first came out, they would like, even she said in the promo that everyone kept comparing her. Oh, she's like Charlotte. She's like Charlotte. And then later on, when she started like I'm gonna be myself, and she found her gimmick, and she found something that made her stand out.
Right.
Right. And I'll be honest with you, her theme song is like one of my favorite theme songs now too, anyway.
It is actually a pretty good theme song. I do like it. Oh, but I was really surprised at that match because I've never seen Ripley actually fight, but I had seen a lot of Charlotte fight, which is, I wasn't very impressed with her before, but of course she's changed up her style a little bit. She's a lot more rougher than she used to be. And then seeing Ripley bust some ass and actually get her ass beat too at the same time was actually really entertaining.
Dude, when Charlotte kept catching her with the chops, I was fucking going, woo, just to kind of add to it, like watching WrestleMania.
Yeah, dude, that shit was crazy, dude. Like they were going at each other hard, dude.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't expecting to hear those hits that hard.
Well, I mean, without a crowd, you can actually hear the hits.
Oh yeah, but not as loud as they were. Like, because even for some of the dudes from matches, like you didn't hear the slaps that hard.
True.
Dude, remember I told you when it comes to wrestling chops, you have to eat those.
Oh yeah, and they ate the fuck out of them. They ate them like a fucking buffet and shit.
Yeah, I heard in my mind, may I have another?
Pretty
Give
much,
me more.
yeah. But what I didn't like was the fact that well, actually, what I did enjoy and not that I didn't like was the fact that like Charlotte really, really, really took advantage of the fact that Ripley's leg was fucked up.
Yeah, but she hurt her leg. Charlotte hurt her leg like a few weeks back. Like, you know, leading right,
yeah, up to yeah, anyway. Yeah. But the fact that she really, 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 like, she capitalized on that hard the entire match.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's what makes it, you know, that gives her the like, honestly, think about it. Her dad's Ric Flair, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? And she has to live up to a high legacy. Mm-hmm, so she has to work in a center like that, that, you know, oh, yeah, she is that good. Yeah.
Yeah, she worked really hard. I bet, like, she hit it with the figure eight at the end, too. I was like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that shit was great. That was a really, really good match. So what was the next one?
Aleister Black and Bobby Lashley.
Yeah. See, I've known of fucking Bobby Lashley for a long time because, of course, he's been around for a while, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know much about Aleister Black. First thing that really, like, threw me off when he first came out was just his entrance music. I was like, oh, shit, I like this. And then I looked it up, and it was actually one of the bands that we've actually had on the show before. It was from Cold Orange. And I was like, oh, yes, I like this. And, yeah, it was actually a pretty good match.
Dude, the end was great. When Lashley was going to go for his spear, and he just catches him with Black Mass out of nowhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That shit was awesome. I was
like, oh! Oh, they're giving him that big win at Mania. Nice.
That was really good. It was really, really good. I was surprised. I was like, oh shit, okay. That's what's up. I like that a lot. I'm glad that they actually like gave him a bit of shine because he's only been around for a few years, right?
Right.
Well, Aleister Black?
Yeah.
Well, he was in NXT for a while, former NXT champ. And then when they brought him up, he was doing his thing here and there. And at one point he was actually tag teaming. Where he was tag teaming with Ricochet when they brought him to the main spot because what was it, the finals of last year's or the year before? No, it was this past the Dusty Rhodes Classic NXT that they won it.
Oh, okay.
They won the last year. No, it was not this year. This year was Riddle and the Broserweights. Yeah, but going back, so they gave him some, like, you know, but. Then after a while, he kind of fizzled. They didn't know what to use with him. So they just have him, like, you know, vignettes here and there, doing promos. And they give him matches here and there. But now it looks like they're pushing him more. And especially now that, you know, he's been, you know, been working, you know, every week since all this COVID stuff or whatever. He's been impressing people. So.
Yeah, I was thoroughly impressed with him yesterday. I was like, okay. You go. what was the next one?
Otis and Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. I was surprised about this match. I wasn't expecting it to be as entertaining as it was.
Acting like two parts, all in all, it was one of my favorite moments, you know, when he got the win, Otis, and then he had his arms and they kissed. I was like, oh, someone's going to get some chong tonight.
Yeah, that was actually really fucking good. I was like, oh, shit. He's getting some pussy.
He's going to get some good times.
That was actually a really entertaining match. I really liked it a lot. I was like, okay, I like it. Because, like,
dude, I have this picture right now that I don't know if you ever heard Mandy Rose's theme song. Right, but what I'm picturing is, like, at the end of the match or whatever, she's gonna come out to Otis, like, you know, you want to have a good time. Mandy. Oh yeah,
coming to the stage,
ladies and gentlemen. This is Mandy. Whatever she did, ladies and gentlemen, she doesn't work for applause. She works for tip, and Otis is gonna give her that tip.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, he gonna give it that caterpillar.
He's just gonna break through. Yeah,
he's gonna show her why they call him. You know, his tag team is called Heavy Machinery.
He's hard at work, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, but that storyline that's been going on for quite some time or whatever has been, like, you know. You know, I was like, where are they gonna go with this? And actually, I was surprised that it led up all the way to WrestleMania.
The fact that it was a pretty long storyline from what I've seen. I was like, holy shit, they actually like they played it out really well. And the fact and it ended up really good for Otis specifically. I was like, okay, I gotcha. Uh-huh. So what was a lot of his gimmick? Because I like I said, I haven't really seen much of him before. But like, was a lot of his stuff just like he's just like the nerdy dude or whatever? Or
no. The gimmick is that he's like him and his partner, like his partner, whatever, is the, like more the brains, and Otis is like the muscle.
Oh, okay.
Right, but but he's just like it's so like, out like, there. Like, to be honest like, with you, whatever. I get the way that I describe Otis is the like, best. Like if Chris Farley decided to do a wrestling gimmick.
Nice. Okay. So he's like from Mice and Men.
Kind of. Yeah. Kind of like that. But but instead of him being was it Lenny?
Yeah.
It's more like Chris Farley. Oh yeah, like think like Beverly Hills Ninja kind of. I don't know.
I got you. Okay. No, but that was a good match. I did like that. I did enjoy that a lot, especially they're pushing the fat dude. Another thing.
No, they remember they won't call him fat. He's stocky.
Same shit. He's a fat dude. Dude, what was the one thing that I kind of said? I think it was to Brian or something. They were like, "Yeah, this is the." I was like, "The here's me of the fat guy in a little coat," because he had like a really small shirt, like the Chris Farley. I'm like, yeah, it makes sense. So, what was the next one?
The last man standing match with Edge and Orton.
Oh boy, that match. It wasn't.
Okay,
dude. This is what I have to say.
Honestly, and I'm gonna say this: I was happy to see Edge back, even though I was never really a fan of his like that.
Right.
And I'm glad that he can still go. But my honest opinion of the match in total was that it went on, I think, honestly, for 10 minutes too long.
Okay.
But I get the whole thing of them, trying to, bring out that drama, bring out the whole thing. And I guess like I said before, of you don't have a crowd to feed, to feed off of, right? That it takes away a little bit of it. But what I did like is that they did tell a story. They told a story. Did. Like, these were former friends, now enemies, right? About to fuck each other up.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool. I like the whole build up to that point. I was like, okay, this makes sense. I kind of see why they would be doing this. But the fact that it was a really fucking long match, it was super fucking long. It reminded me of the last episode that we just did of the 200th episode.
But the difference was ours is a little more entertaining.
Yeah, just a little bit more.
Well, actually, a lot more, but whatever. And I don't short sell myself, motherfucker.
And we had a crowd.
And we did have a crowd, exactly. Yeah, no, but it was an okay match to actually see him actually take all the bumps the way he did.
Yeah,
especially if they're taking all the surgery and all the shit that he's been going through and shit. And I get it. I was like, okay. They're just trying to show that he still has it. And I was like, okay, that's fine. But one thing that we spoke about, Brian and I, was the whole choking him out with the fucking with the shit backstage. It was fucking hilarious. I know it technically wasn't supposed to be a thing, but the fact that it kind of looked like a Benoit moment, I was like, okay. Brian pointed it out to me. I was like, oh, shit. That makes sense.
I saw that right away. I was like, oh.
Like a Benoit tribute.
Yeah, and I was talking to you before we started recording, that apparently a lot of the personnel backstage, a lot of the workers actually took some offense to it. They were just saying it was kind of distasteful to do something like that. But I mean, when I was watching it, I like it didn't really hit me right away. And then like, you know, then afterwards, like, wait a minute.
Yeah, and then he was bringing out the weights right after that too.
Yeah.
Oh, it was classic.
I was impressed by the strength that Edge had to pull himself up and then just like kind of catapult himself onto Orton.
Yeah.
You know, but then he teabagged him.
Which was
the best. Look at that. We're still bros. I still care here. Let me warm you up with some tea bags.
With these nuts. yeah, that was entertaining. It was a fun match. Like I said, it wasn't bad, but it was just like way too long. Like, come on, people.
No, like I said, it was like I found it like 10 minutes too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really. What was the next one?
The next one was the Street Profits and Angel Garza and Austin Theory.
Yeah, that was low point of the evening for me.
Like I said, tag teams like the Street Profits are one of those tag teams that feed off the crowd too much. So, yeah. You know, without a crowd, it's not as great.
Yeah. Also, is that they remind me a lot of course, like referring everything back to fucking AEW, but they remind me of tag team Private Party. Like a private, just like, I guess, like a leather beef, the Street, those dudes in the WWE. They're just not as good, but they still have the same type of gimmick. They get it.
Dude, the one thing that's mentioned Private Party is that dude when he gets hurt, when he screams like, ah!
Yeah, shit is hilarious. But yeah, this match was just like, okay, it made no sense to me. And I was like, okay, whatever.
Well, remember, it was for the tag team, you know, because the Street Profits are the world tag team champ, so.
Right.
Because originally it was supposed to be Angel Garza and what's his fucking dude's name? Andrade, but Andrade got hurt, so they switched it off with Austin Theory, and you know, I for what it was worth, it wasn't that bad, you know.
Right. Well, that's fair. Like I said, it was the low point in the entire thing for me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So, what was the next one?
Next up was the SmackDown Women's Champion Bayley versus Sasha, Naomi, Lacey Evans, and Tamina Snuka.
Okay, yeah, that was.
Robert, I'm sorry, they don't say Snuka anymore. They just
it's just Tamina.
Yeah, that was an interesting match. It could have been better,
but it was at least entertaining.
Yes, it was entertaining. It wasn't the worst out of all of them. It was kind of like the basic match.
Mm-hmm.
It served its purpose. It did what it had to do, and it was somewhat entertaining. I kind of like that at the beginning. They all pretty much bum rushed against fucking Tamina or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool.
That was cool.
Take out the big girl first. Mm-hmm. And then work your way down, yeah. And then seeing Bayley actually.
You say work your way down? That sounds sexy.
I know, right? But just seeing how they all worked each other was actually pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I haven't seen a lot of the women's wrestlings on the WWE side for a while. Yeah. It was cool. It wasn't great, but it was cool.
Right.
It wasn't bad either. It was cool. It was good enough. Like Bayley winning again, I was like, I was kind of looking forward to seeing somebody else take the title because I know she's been the fucking champ for a while. So
yeah,
the way that it seems like right now that they're trying to lead up to, you know, that they want the feud between Bayley and Sasha Banks. Like, you know, remember they had that long, you know, that long riding feud for a while. Right. From NXT, and then they had it in Raw for a while, and then, you know, so it looks like that's what they're trying to get, you know, they're trying to go to.
It kind of looked like they were gonna like capitalize on that yesterday.
No, but I think what they're gonna do is they're gonna let it die down for a bit, and then, you know, then out of nowhere she's gonna be like, well, I did help you, so you know, maybe you give me a shot at the title.
Yeah, and then that'll be at the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay, look at us. We're setting everything up for them.
I'm pretty sure. Wait, somehow we gotta work for backstage or whatever. So, you know, it's gonna be like, you know, copyright in the City Geeks 2020.
Pretty much. So what was the next match?
That was the Firefly Funhouse match.
Yay. That was my overall favorite match of the entire event. Whether it's night one or night two, that was my favorite.
And I'm sorry, before this, was that the 24/7 title, or was that the...
I think it was right before this one, the 24 title.
It was right before this one.
Yeah.
Right, where the 24/7 title, Gronk decided to basically leap himself off of the platform onto everybody and pin and ran away with it.
No, that happened shortly after the Last Man Standing match, before the tag team match.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that was actually
more action. Fucking White Tiger himself, Gronkowski, is the new 24/7, 48, 42, whatever this guy says, 7-Eleven, heavyweight champion of the world.
And then Alex, Steve and I were texting right after that. I'm like, and that's when COVID pins Gronk for the title.
Oh, it was so raw with hilarious. That's the funny shit.
The Fiend defeating John Cena in the Firefly Funhouse match.
Ah, that match was like,
that was
fantastic.
What a piece of art.
Yeah, it really was.
Dude, one of my favorite statements that they said during that, which was true, that when they put the part when Bray Wyatt, the Eater of Worlds, went against John Cena, and he even said it, John, you should have done something 6 years ago.
Right? Yeah.
You know, give him that win. But John and his, you know, and his ego didn't let him. Because, you know, at the same time, it's just like, no matter what, it's just like, you know, oh, John Cena has to be successful at WrestleMania.
Right, exactly. Unless it's the Miz. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. that was the exact thing.
But at this point, the good thing about it is that since Cena's like, you know, Cena's now kind of like a part-time worker, it's mm-hmm. a good push for Bray again. Because, I mean, after that loss to Goldberg, it kind of took the momentum of the Fiend a little bit.
Yeah.
Right? But now, like, you know, after that big win, right, it kind of gives him that you know, that oomph that he needs again.
Right. But that's a huge push for him too.
Yeah.
Because pretty much now, like, it's kind of like he kind of quote-unquote retired him. This is what it kind of looked like he did. At least for now. Like, it threw him into like a fucking like a dream world and shit. That's where he stuck at. So it's gonna be kind
of, in the words of the puppet Vince McMahon, this is some good shit.
Yeah, it really was. It really fucking was. It was super. That was super fucking entertaining. I love that one. That was actually my overall.
Dude, that was my favorite moment of the night. And the thing that really got me was that I was reading a lot of the comments on one of the fan pages that I'm on, the wrestling, you know, wrestling fan pages. And a lot of people were like, what the fuck is this? I was like, you uncultured swine. You don't fucking know.
You guys don't eat too many shrooms.
You don't understand. You don't have the imagination. And honestly, whatever. It was something that played out so well, especially if everything that's going on. Like, you know, this was like just a great segment, dude.
It really was. It really, really was. It was actually fantastic. I was like, okay. And then I wasn't expecting that there was going to be, like, I completely forgot that there was going to be another match after this one. I was like, okay, this is over. And then, yeah, they came back. Like, oh, no, we still got one more match.
Yeah, and that was the really quick McIntyre-Lesnar match.
Yeah, I wasn't another match that I wasn't expecting to go like that quick.
Like, I think it should have been reversed. I think they should have closed it out with the Firefly.
Yeah, just like they closed out night one with the Undertaker shit. They should have closed the part two with the Firefly.
Dude, but you already know when it comes to like Lesnar, they're not going to do that. Like, especially like the way that they're pushing him.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Like, you know that he's like their top guy. So honestly, you're right. I feel like the same way as you do that the Firefly Funhouse match should have been the last thing. But yeah. Also think about it. This was for the WWE Championship, which is their biggest championship. So. Yeah. You know, it kind of makes sense that, you know, that you have to put the main event spot for that title.
Right. But also the fact that that main event spot was so fucking short.
Yeah.
They should have literally put that shit before and be like, okay, cool. Here's some next shit that's actually more entertaining than just these like 5 minutes that you'll get in the match.
Also, after McIntyre wins, you know, and he's like happy, like, you know, I got the belt. And then in a way,
We're all glad that you're our friend, and this is the friendship that will never ever end.
Oh, that would have been fantastic.
Exactly. That would have been great. Yeah. See, that would have been a little better for in my eyes, at least. But yeah, the match was okay. Like I give McIntyre his props. He's been around for a while, so the fact that he's actually finally getting a chance to actually have the title is cool. Maybe he could claymore some more people.
Well, the whole thing is this, you know, for the years that he was there in the past, and you know that Vince McMahon even kind of gave him that blessing in the past of saying that, you know, he was going to be a future champion, but it's just during his first run, it wasn't really, you know, that wasn't really the case. Like, they tried to push him, but a lot of things were against him.
Yeah, everything.
But then, like, you know, when he came, you know, when he did come back. It worked out a lot better for him. Because that what they did was with him, they built him up, they put him in NXT. You know, he was doing his thing there. And then after he won the NXT title and, you know, lost it, you know, that's when he came, you know, they brought him up. And then, you know, they made him into a good, like, what they call the mid-carder.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was just building himself up from there. And then he became, you know, like a main eventer. So this match solidifies that he can be a main eventer.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, like, he has to be a main eventer now. Like, it's not even, like, any other way. Like, he's the champion now, so he has to fucking stand up to it. So there's no going back unless he fucking, like, gives up in the next match. You're like, okay, yeah, fuck it. But it's good that he did it. I'm glad he did. Because we need somebody else other than Brock Lesnar because his fucking his eyebrows throw me off. His fucking bleached eyebrows. It's creepy.
It's so creepy.
It really is, dude.
Like his Brock eyebrows. Lesnar looks like you know, like he looks like one of those like mid-level bosses in like one of those like fighting games.
he really does.
Yeah, you gotta deal with my champion. Fuck.
Yeah, basically. Nah, but overall that the second night was better than the first night. And it had a lot more shit that was actually more entertaining than the first night, other than like three matches and shit. Besides that, it was pretty cool. I enjoyed it a lot more. Did you have any gripes over the show in general?
I don't know. Like I said, I'm indifferent.
Okay.
Well, we talked about it already. Like, yeah. You know, the whole thing that I think they should have just postponed it until, you know, they could have had it again.
Right.
Like, you know, with a crowd.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, a gripe, I guess, that we kind of spoke about before was that it was just too bright.
Yeah. It was way too fucking bright. Like, what the fuck?
It's WrestleMania. No people.
Yeah. Don't make it so fucking bright if you don't got that many fucking people around.
Right. Dude, the one thing that, like, and I know we talked about this before, Steve, that the one good thing about, like, when it comes to, like, AEW, the way that they do it is that they have some of the other workers just hanging out, you know, like, kind of, like, pretending to be, like, kind of pretend crowd.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. what I love about it.
But I think the whole thing is that WWE wants to focus more on, you know, on the wrestling itself, and they don't want to take away from it. But, you know, you need some people like kind of cheering or whatever, like just to kind of like a little something, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. And also, like, another thing that I enjoy about AEW that didn't happen at WrestleMania was that nobody had pyros. They just had fucking smoke with stupid fucking smoke.
Uh-huh.
AEW does pyros for everyone, even on the fucking regular shows that has nobody there. Which is fucking cool. I enjoy the fuck out of that shit because it kind of makes you feel like it's actually an actual match. Like it's an right. actual event, even though there's nobody there. And it's just a regular TV broadcast. Even their dark show that's on fucking on YouTube gets fucking pyro. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the fact that like WWE that had a pay-per-view that only did smoke for these people but just crazy lights everywhere, I was like, what the fuck? But whatever. I guess I'm just too weird about it, I guess. I don't know. But overall, it was okay. I give the overall WrestleMania like a C plus.
Okay.
C plus, B minus.
I think actually that's a good grade for it. Because, I mean,
yeah.
You know, despite the circumstances and everything like that, they still tried. And, you know, and even the little speech that Stephanie gave, what was it, night one, saying like, you know, they know that WrestleMania, you know, is going to feel a lot different than what it normally would be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this was something to kind of escape from everything that's been going on lately. And it did do that, you know, like, that's why, you know, like I said, like, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was super entertaining. Not super. It was entertaining.
Yeah.
For what it was, yeah. It was something to get people's minds off of the bullshit that's going on in the world right now. So, kudos to them for that. And I thank you guys for that. That was pretty cool. Like I said, I enjoyed it enough to actually sit through 6 hours of an event. So, yeah. It was good enough to not, you know, fuck this. I'm not going to give a fuck about this anymore.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, so I guess that pretty much sums it all up. Do you guys have anything else to add to it?
Nope, I got nothing.
Alex?
Let's see how it's going to work with Money in the Bank.
That's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting. Hopefully, some shit gets figured out before then. Cause that shit is literally like a month away. It's going to what, like May 10th or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what comes out of all that shit. So it's gonna be interesting. So I guess go to InterCityGeeks.net where we have a whole bunch of shit. Sometimes, of course, we have the regular show, which is the InterCity Geeks podcast, and then we also have, of course, now you have. Another bonus round. We've had a few bonus rounds when we did a bunch of shit already.
The unofficial ICPD.
Yeah, it really is. This is the unofficial ICGPW Slamcast. So.
Oh my god! No, I was just chuckling because right, I was just thinking like, you know, like, oh my god, that's what it felt like. It felt like the Slamcast. It's like we should just invite a colleague.
Right, I was thinking about that shit too. That's hilarious. Yeah. So you could check out the ICGPW Slamcast on the site. Previous episodes, which is, I guess, the last episode. One of the last episodes was WrestleMania a few years ago, I believe. I think. Am I right?
I forget.
Yeah. But yeah, you have that on the site. We also have It's Poppin' with Franny the Fangirl. Comics of the World, Manga Time, Anime World, Intercity Geeks Turntable, Intercity Geeks First Watch, so much fucking shit on there. Good Game, Y2J, Bri2J Presents, Franny's Film Stuff, all her shit is on there. Everything that's Intercity Geeks, just go to intercitygeeks.net. And you'll see all that shit on there. You can find on the page, we have links to a bunch of places. We got places for, like, Amazon. You can get some cool Amazon Prime shit for the first month. You get Amazon Prime for free. And why not take advantage of it now? Because, you know, you don't got to pay for it. And a lot of people don't have jobs right now, so you don't got to pay for shit right now. After that first month, just cancel it. I don't give a fuck. Do that shit. Get some free streamings because you got a lot of time on your hands, people. So go watch it. Watch it on the go watch fucking Jay and Silent Bob's reboot on Prime now. So go do that. And then a bunch of other cool shit that's on Prime. So why not, right? Prime Music, Prime Video, Prime Shipping, of course. Yeah, go do that. Then also we have... Beard Octane, where you get some beard shit. Type in ICG10 for 10% off. Then we got So Sick Clothing Company, which is a cool clothing company that has geeky type shirts for people like us, of course. And you can get 15% off if you type in Inner City Geeks. So 15% off of there. And then you can find some cool CBD shit from Kushly on the site as well. Just click the link and it'll get you 15% off of your entire purchase off any CBD products, whether it's gummies, tinctures, fucking anything that you want. Some oils, some lotions, all that shit. Go do it. 15% off if you click on that link and go purchase some shit through there. You can find the show on... Stitcher Radio, on SoundCloud, on Google Podcasts, and on motherfucking Spotify. And you can find us on the socials, on the Instagram, and at Inner City Geeks, on the Twitters, at Inner City Geeks, on the Facey Space, at faceyspace.com/InnerCityGeeks. And where can we find you guys, Brian?
You can find me... on YouTube, Bri2J Presents. Also, Bri2JPresents.com, which has all links to all the videos, vlogs, and stuff. And then you can follow the channel on Instagram at Bri2J Presents. And that's about it.
Sweet. Alex, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at Denied, D-I-N-Y-E-D, and on Instagram at Denied, D-I-N period Y period E-D.
Yes, and you can find me on the Instagram and the Twitters at Mr. Jackal, MisterJackal. And pretty much wraps it all up. So thank you for listening. And don't be a dick. Just go watch some fucking wrestling.
Bye-bye. Later.
Until next time, folks.